The live-action remake of the 1941 Disney movie Dumbo is at the top of the box office list this week. But long before the movie began filming, members of the production crew traveled to Baraboo to dig into the Circus World archives, making sure they got the look of the film's sets and costumes just right. The archive is the largest collection of circus history in the world. It contains hundreds of thousands of documents relating to the circus, much of it with strong ties to Wisconsin. Peter Schrake is the archivist at the Robert L. Parkinson Library and Research Center at Circus World in Baraboo. He's also author of the book The Silver Man, The Life and Times of Indian Agent John Kinsey. Peter, welcome to Central Time.
Good to be here.
Well, I'm sure this could go on a long time, but can you give us a taste of the range of items and documents you have there in the archives?
Well, it's extensive. Photographs, for example, we have about 350,000 photographs of all media types, digital, glass plate negatives, different types of other negatives, print photographs, going as far back as the 1860s and up to the present day. So it's a very broad range of photographs. As you mentioned, hundreds of thousands of documents. For example, the entire business records of the Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus from 1911 to 1965. We've got several hundred films. We've got advertisements, about 10,000 lithographic posters in our collection. So it's an extensive collection, and that doesn't even touch upon the artifacts that we have. So from a research perspective, it's an extensive collection.
And you mentioned 1860s for some of those photographs. You have older materials, right, going back another close to, 80, 90 years before that, as I understand it.
We do. We have the oldest piece that we have, the oldest documentary piece that we have is a newspaper that it contains an advertisement for the first circus performance that was ever held in the United States from 1793 in Philadelphia. And it's an advertisement for the Ricketts Circus, which actually George Washington, I believe, visited. And we have a full newspaper that goes along with that.
Now, we mentioned this new remake of Dumbo, a live-action remake. It's in theaters, and you got a visit from the production crew. What kind of stuff were they looking for at the archives?
They were mainly looking through photographs. They had come by, actually, at first kind of on a whim. I think that they were passing through on a vacation. And they thought, well, we're near Circus World. Let's stop in and see what they got. And at a quick glance, they realized, holy cow, we got to come back. So they scheduled several days at the end of their trip to come in. And they spent about 2 to 3 days here combing through our photographs and mainly looking at photographs from the turn of the century and to get that kind of, as they say, that look and that feel for what a show would have looked like at that time. And we ended up sending them about 250 photographs. Then our executive director, Scott O'Donnell, took them on a tour of the grounds and took them through our wagon collection and our wardrobe collection as well. So they got the we showed them everything they wanted to see. And in the end, we provided research materials for them. And I haven't seen the movie yet, but from everything I hear, I think it went pretty well.
And the idea was they wanted the clothes to look right and the wagons to look right and just have that backdrop, the scene be authentic. Is that right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. They wanted to capture the feel of a turn-of-the-century circus, I think they did.
Talking to Peter Schrake from Circus World in Baraboo. He's an archivist there. We're talking about the extensive collection, biggest in the world, hundreds of thousands of documents plus artifacts relating to the history of the circus. And Peter, I understand there are also oral histories of people who worked at the circus in different eras. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, that is actually a project we've been engaged in recent years. The museum has always collected oral histories. So really going back into the late 1950s, early 1960s, my predecessors, Bob Parkinson and his brother Tom Parkinson, Bob Parkinson ran the library, founded the library, but he and his brother conducted oral history interviews with a number of performers, many of them with memories going back into the 19-teens and 20s. We also have sound recordings of actual interviews conducted for radio from the 1940s. And so we started by digitizing those. But one of the benefits of being at Circus World is we have our summer performance season. And our director, Scott O'Donnell, has worked in the circus community for much of his career. So he's a well-known kind of individual within the circus communities. And so that combined with the fact that the performers that work for us during the summer are not just folks we hire from the area, but people who work within the circus community and have throughout their whole lives, we have performers and their families and their friends coming through every summer. And so we had the idea of, well, let's start to record them, because one thing we don't have really adequately documented is the modern contemporary circus. And so what better way to do that than with the oral histories? And so every summer we do a number of different interviews with individuals as they are available. Three summers ago, was it 2016? I'm sorry, 2017, after the Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus closed, there was a reunion of former employees here. And so over the course of 3 weeks, we interviewed something like 56 individuals of their recollections of their time with the Ringling Circus and then also the closing of the Ringling Circus. And all of those are available online through our online catalog. So you can listen to these. And in many cases, we have transcripts to go along with them.
Take us back to the mid-1800s, maybe some of those earlier pictures. I think back in this era where, you know, people didn't have TV or the internet or movies or anything like that. The circus coming to town was maybe the event of the year. What, when you look at the pictures and the stories you've collected there, set the scene for us.
Many of the photographs are of showground lots, and so you have views of the big tents, these beautifully carved wagons, crowds along the midway. So there's, you know, when you approached a circus showgrounds lot, you had this avenue that was flanked on one side by sideshow banners that would attract you into the sideshow tent, or on the other side you would have concession tents. Then at the very end of that you would have the entrance to the menagerie, and then eventually the big top tent. So we have photos of crowds milling along the midway. We have photographs of the concession stands and of the sideshow banner. So really a full documentation. In many cases, we have photos of the inside of these tents as well, these big top tents. And so you could really get a good sense of what it was like to visit a circus in the 1860s, 1870s, 1880s. Because it was this dynamic, entertaining force, it attracted local photographers as well as the professionals. A favorite set that I have is actually of the Ringling Brothers in their very early years in 1888 when they visited a town called Algona, Iowa. And so we have a set of the showgrounds lot, of the back lots, you know, of the performers, of the crowds. And it's just so there's like sets of photographs that show the day in the life of a circus. And you're absolutely right in that it did shut down the town. The circus was in many regards at the time considered an educational experience because of the different cultures that comprised of the performers, the different exotic animals. It was seen often as not just as grand entertaining venture, but also really a multicultural and educational experience. Quite often, especially at the turn of the century and in the years before and afterwards, there was also the first time people would experience a light bulb, for example, when the circus had a traveling electrical light plant and lit their grounds with electrical lights. So the first time people saw a light bulb, or maybe the first time they saw an automobile. So it was a place to see sometimes new technology. The early cinematographs, these early films, there was a special dark tent that showed these things. So you could go in the 1890s and see scenes from the Spanish-American War. So it was this amazing thing that came through, like you say, once a year in this traveling city and see sights and sounds that you couldn't possibly see anywhere else throughout the rest of the year.
And one of the pictures I saw online was of not the stars of the show, but of one of my favorite words, roustabouts, the people behind the scenes who put it all together. Yeah. What do we see about the life of the people who, you know, weren't doing the stunts and entertaining the crowds?
Well, and that, too, is one of my favorite sides of the show. The roustabouts reflect the nuts and bolts side of and the logistics of how you ran a circus, because it was a hard life. It was a great life. Everybody who has experienced it, really, it defines them. It's something that to this day they're very proud to have been involved with, whether they're a performer or a roustabout, you know, working guy kind of thing. And these were the people who, you know, pounded in the tent stakes, that set up the canvas, that unloaded the terrains and moved the equipment around. And a number of these photos do just that. They show these guys at work and sometimes, you know, at rest. I think we have a couple of photographs that show them literally playing dice games and playing cards, taking a break, you know, that their hard work is done. But it was a grueling schedule. I mean, a large, decent-sized circus was a traveling city, often with, like, say, their own barber shops, their own doctors. And so this was a city that had to be taken apart, loaded up onto a train, moved to the next town and unloaded and set up early in the morning for usually two or three performances, then taken down and moved again. So it was a grueling, exhausting work schedule, but also deeply rewarding work schedule for those who were involved with it.
And very briefly in our last few moments, Peter, is there a holy grail, one artifact or document or picture that you wish you had in the archive that you'd love to find?
Boy, for me, anything that really documents the early 19th century, but also really any document or set of letters that are offer a personal side of the performers, you know, and really a set of diaries or a set of letters. Because, again, these are the circus community is one that it's a very close-knit community. And so to have that side of you know, that kind of the inside view of life amongst the performers, something that really shows that close-knit family-like atmosphere that really makes up a circus family. Letters and diaries that document that. The more I can get of that, the better.
Peter, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's Peter Schrake, archivist at the Robert L. Parkinson Library and Research Center at Circus World in Baraboo. He was with us to talk about the collection at the archives, biggest in the world collection of circus-related material. Producers on the new Dumbo movie sought them out to get the look of their sets and costumes just right. If you have a story about the circus, a memory of what it used to be like or was like recently, let us know what you remember. Tell us about the sights, sounds, or whatever stuck with you. You can email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR with your own circus history memories.